Okay, so the third part was if you're there's two kinds of people, saints and madmen. So if you're not a saint, you're insane. And you know, the interesting thing when we started researching this, we had the Nicene, post-Nicene Fathers and the Anti-Nicene Fathers series, which is a big, you know, series on CD. So we just started doing word searches, and you know, so you're like looking for a crazy, insane, mad, beside himself, you know, all those fun words. And the vast majority of the instances in which those occurred had absolutely nothing to do with mental illness, the way we, you know, think of it. And so, of course, you know, we're just looking at that and just dismissing it. You know, because, you know, if you do something I think's a little bit silly, I'll say, well, isn't that crazy? But I don't really mean it, right? But, you know, after time after time after time after time of looking at these passages, trying to see are they actually talking about mental illness or not, it occurred to us that they meant exactly what they said. And there were a couple of things that got us realizing that. One is that I challenge you to find a writing by a father that's more than a couple pages long where they don't call somebody insane. And then the other thing is, like, this accusation gets made in some incredibly serious moments. Like, I think every single ecumenical council, when they condemn a particular heresy, they always talk about it in terms of insanity. You know, the ravings of Arius, the insanity of Dioscorus, whatever, you know, and it goes on and on and on and on. And then this other place where this all very often shows up is when martyrs are being martyred. And their persecutors will say something like, you're insane. You know, here you are and you're going through all this pain and all you have to do is say you don't believe in that God that you believe in who died on the cross. You're nuts. And very often what the persecutor would do and what the martyr would do would turn around and say, no, you are insane. You know, and the martyrs and the fathers of the ecumenical councils, they weren't taking cheap shots at people. They were talking about fundamental reality. And they were in a position where, you know, they knew what fundamental reality was. And so that's where they were coming from. So, so basically, if you look in the Fathers about who's mad, it's everybody but the saints. Satan is mad. Saint Anthony in one part talks about how the evil one even dared to approach our Lord in his madness and depravity. He's talking about when he tempts Christ. And you think about that. I mean, how crazy is that? You know, here you are, and you're somebody that was made by God, and you see God in the flesh, and you're trying to tempt him to worship you. I mean, that is crazy. It shows a basic lack of understanding of reality. And then Adam is mad when he sins. In St. Dorotheus of Gaza, when he's talking about the fall, he says this. He says, God said, you shall not do this. And he did do it. Do you not see the pride in that, the obstinacy, the insubordination? And so God said, the man is mad. He does not know how to be happy. Unless he experiences evil days, he will go away and completely perish. And so basically, God is saying, you know, here's this man who has decided that he's going to listen to a serpent instead of believe everything he knows about me and about, you know, everything about creation shows him about me. And he's going to listen to this serpent tell him that if he eats an apple, or whatever the fruit was, that he's going to be just like me. And God, in his mercy, didn't let him stay there. So it was like, okay, if that's what you think, then let's see what the results of that kind of belief is. And so, you know, so now we live with those results. So, okay, so Satan's mad, Adam is mad, pagans are mad, persecutors are mad, heretics are mad, anybody who's sinning is mad, all right? And there's hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of references for those. So why are we all mad? Well, because human nature has become mad. I'm going to quote something at the end from St. Maximus, but I just want to make one little point out of it right now. And what he says is that since the fall, our attention is riveted to the things of the senses. So what our basic madness is, it's a failure to perceive fundamental reality that underlies the things that we can see through our senses. You know, it would be, have any of you ever gone out and fed our koi? You know, so, I mean, you could go out and you can feed those koi, and you can talk to them, and you can, you know, tell them what beautiful koi they are. They don't understand what you're saying. All you are to them is this really funny-looking feeding machine, you know? And when we, in our sin, turned away from God, he became a funny-looking feeding machine to us. Because we got to the point where we couldn't hear him anymore because we weren't listening, because we turned away and we didn't want to hear. So as long as my fallen nature is still active, as long as I'm looking at things for themselves and not for God, I'm fundamentally insane because I'm ignoring the most fundamental reality. And that has nothing to do with, you know, how well your brain works in the way the world sees it. I mean, you can be a Nobel Prize-winning physicist, but without the grace of the Spirit, even though you can explain everything that's going on in the world, you don't know what it means. Or, you know, to give another illustration, it would be like a blind collector of lamps. You can tell me everything there is to know about your lamp, except for what it is. And that's the way we are. That's the way we approach life. It's like I drink water, and I can tell you some things about the water, except for what it is, because I have walked away from the fountain of life. You know, and I can eat bread, and I can tell you a lot of things about the bread, except for what it is, because I am not communing fully with the bread of heaven. Okay, so, and to just give maybe one more illustration there, you know, in our culture, I mean, you can sort of define insanity, you know, in terms of not seeing or not responding correctly to reality. I'm not a psychologist or psychiatrist, so I don't know how close that is to, you know, a definition you would see in the sciences. But in our culture, we see this in a very narrow way. It only has to do with our everyday reality. It doesn't have to do with metaphysical reality. And so, you know, if I think that I'm an artichoke, you know that I'm insane. But if I'm a 9/11 terrorist who thought that I could go to heaven by killing, you know, thousands of innocent people and killing myself in the process, that is not considered insane. You might consider it evil, but I remember when this happened, and there were things in the papers saying they're not insane because they they believe what their subculture believes. Well, the fathers would have said, look, you're both insane. If you think you're an artichoke, well, God, you're insane. Well, you know, but God bless you and help you. And, you know, maybe we can do something so you don't think you're an artichoke anymore. But the 9/11 terrorists were far more fundamentally and more seriously insane because they were wrong about the fundamental reality. They were wrong about the one who is love, who came to die for us so that we could live. And they thought that they could get to him by killing innocent people and themselves. Okay. So, anything on that? Yeah, Dale.
For a long time, I've wondered, what was it that, like, St. Andrew was considered a fool for Christ? Was he expressing the divine so explicitly that the world did not see it as reality, and therefore being a fool for Christ was their appellation? Or was it something much more divine that we don't see?
Well, I think the fools for Christ, they very purposely did things that everybody else thought would be crazy. And the main reason they did that was to hide from praise. You know, they didn't want people to think well of them because they were sane enough to know that that's one of the worst poisons that you can have. And actually, in a minute here, I'm going to talk about somebody who did something really drastic because he knew what an awful poison that is. So in their particular cases, you know, it's they're looking insane to the world, and some people could see past that to see this incredible holiness, and other people they're not looking, so they're not going to see it. But you do see fathers saying something like, you know, the insane consider the sane insane. You know, and where you particularly see this is martyrdom. You know, and that's why you get so many people, like, I mean, a martyrdom is an event that's extremely polarizing. You know, it's because for a person to go singing to this awful kind of death that the martyrs often had to endure, it's very clear that somebody is raving mad here. You know, it's either the one who's killing them or the one who's being killed. And so, and that's what's so interesting. You know, like, if you read the accounts of the martyrs, what you often see is, like, these incredible miracles happen, and then their persecutors say, you're a magician. You know, and at first I would be sitting there going, like, well, how stupid is that? You know, because, like, what kind of magician have you ever seen who could do anything like that? But the thing is, they didn't have any other categories. They didn't have the possibility of holiness, you know, and so they couldn't get outside that. However, there were people who could get outside that. And that's why you also get, in these stories of martyrs, of people jumping up in the arena and going, I'm a Christian, kill me. You know, because the curtain had been ripped apart. And it was clear that what we believe is mad, somebody is reality. Somebody is pulling the curtain aside and saying, this is total madness, the way you live. It's total idiocy. And you either have to accept that and be willing to die, or you have to kill that person. There's not a whole lot of middle ground, you know. Okay.
It's generated a whole new desire to look at other things, especially compassion for people caught.
Okay.